Taking your calls right now at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Online tonight.
Who is this guy?
I don't know. Until we find out, keep a lid on it.
Now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
I'm Max. Welcome to Online Tonight, where we talk about the latest of tech, pop culture, plus more. And the more usually includes things that I think are cool or a little bit dorky or things like that. So keep that in mind. Let me fix this. There we go. You can give us a ring. 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546 is our toll-free telephone number. Love to hear from you. Take your questions or talk about pop culture. Are you excited about the eclipse tomorrow? Whatever it is you'd like to chat about. And that is the best way to reach us because we can have a dialogue. But if you want to send us a text or an email, feel free. It's one way, though. We don't really respond, and you won't know if we answer your question unless you listen to each and every hour. So maybe it's better. I don't know. Our text is 951-395-1017, 951-395-1017. And I guess some people still charge for text, so if you have a fee, keep that in mind. Our email address, show@onlinetonight.com. That's show@onlinetonight.com.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers. So you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
So the toll-free telephone line is open, 1-800-39-ONLINE. Miss Victoria's around, and she'll be checking out your texts, your emails, and, of course, taking your calls. Let's jump into a little bit of technology news. Amazon is phasing out its checkout-less grocery store with Just Walkout technology. They had this for a while. And I know that Miss Victoria experienced this one time where she had picked up a loaf of bread and then decided, oh, I don't want it. And then when she left the store, she checked her Amazon and it charged her for it. Amazon has been offering Amazon Fresh stores for about maybe a year or two. I'm not sure how long they've been in business, but they have this feature called Just Walk Out, which allows customers to skip checkout by scanning a QR code upon entry. The technology relied on more than 1,000 off-site cashiers in India to monitor and ensure accurate checkouts. Amazon is transitioning towards, I guess it's called dash carts. Those are equipped with scanners and screens for checkout while shopping. Self-checkout counters will also be introduced for non-Amazon members in Amazon Fresh stores. I know that there was a cashier or what are they normally called? Checkout counter person. Where you go and you put your stuff on the little people mover thing that moves food over to the thing and they scan it and then they put it in a bag. Anyway, Amazon Fresh has been experimenting to see, you know, what kind of different services they can offer, especially after buying Whole Foods, which Amazon owns, by the way. Just Walkout technology will continue in a few Fresh locations in the UK and some Amazon Go convenience stores, as well as in certain ballparks. Amazon is moving away from expensive technologies like Just Walk Out. I should actually get the name of the technology correct, huh? That may indicate that they are focusing on expanding its presence in the grocery market or the supermarket sector because, you know, they've got a lot of competition from Walmart and Kroger. I love robots, and I found this story to be very interesting, though it does kind of concern me or scare me a little bit at the same time, and that is that apparently there are some problems at Alaskan airports, and they are using robots to help out. A dog-like Boston Dynamics, which is owned by Google, I believe, named Aurora, is being used to prevent encounters with planes and wildlife at the Fairbanks International Airport. Aurora will patrol near the runway during migratory bird season to scare off the birds from the runway. It was chosen over plans to use drones to spray repellent because of safety concerns. You know, people don't want to have to inhale that, or maybe some of the chemicals will get into the engines or on the planes. So they decided that the robots might be a better way to do it. I don't know if you've seen these Boston Dynamic robots. They look a lot like foxes or coyotes. They're kind of four-legged. They look like a canine in some way. Now, the Aurora project is being funded by a federal grant. They cost about $70,000. I'm not sure if that's each or they get a pair for that amount of money. I'm assuming it's each. And it is seen as a more practical way, and they're going to be able to data collect some alternatives as opposed to using real dogs. The nice thing about robots is as long as they have a charge, they're willing to work. They don't have to go to the bathroom. They don't have to eat. They don't have to drink water. They can just roam around freely, and they can pretty much run 24 hours a day, depending on battery life, obviously. I don't know a single robot that can run for 24 hours, but if they're smart and they are able to be like the Sony Aibo, which could find its home and self-park, that was kind of cool, and charge itself up and then come back out to play. Some people are expressing concerns about surveillance. My question is, how many people are worried about getting photographed on the runway? Is this really a problem? I don't know. The trial will be less extreme compared to other wildlife deterrent methods that have been used in the past. And we talked about how Alaska was going to use drones, but I was surprised to see that home insurance companies are utilizing drones to assess customers' properties and potentially cancel their insurance policies. An insurance provider used a drone to inspect her California home's roof before deciding to drop her policy, despite her roof being in good condition. Insurance companies also employ manned planes and surveillance balloons to do aerial surveillance. However, the use of drones for inspection can be flawed, leading to unjust policy cancellations based on an outdated or misleading images. Despite these issues, the technology is rapidly advancing, potentially allowing for daily high-definition surveillance of property. I am not sure how I feel about that. I like the idea of using drones to check for hot spots for wildfires and stuff like that. Like, we don't already have. I'm in California. I'm not sure what state you're in. But a lot of home insurance policies lately have been canceled. State Farm is not issuing anymore in the state. And I don't want to be too specific about my location. But I guess if the insurance companies feel that there's too many houses, or maybe the earthquake or the fire or the floods or whatever, and they don't have enough money to cover all the claims, then they don't want to issue any more policies. So I'd be interested in knowing what's going on in your state, though I'm not really a finance person or really am too worried about insurance. But I was always taught by my grandpa and my dad that you hope you never need it. You pay this amount of money every month in the hopes that you never need it. But if you have something catastrophic, hopefully they'll have enough money in the bank to write you a check so that you can rebuild your house or get your stuff back. The way I look at it is my daughter, my wife, my dog, and myself safe? I feel like everything else could pretty much be replaced in most cases. Yeah, there's some photos and there's some other things that, you know, I would be sad if I had to live without. But without the people I care about, then what good are those other things? But that's just me. Everybody has a different mentality. I have relatives that are kind of like hoarders. They don't like to get rid of a single thing. Talking about houses and insurance, a 2-pound object fell out of space and landed on a guy's house in Florida. And it looks like the piece might have fallen off of the International Space Station. NASA retrieved the debris, and they're going to analyze it to find out, you know, where did this thing come from? The object is believed to be space debris from depleted batteries attached to a cargo pallet jettisoned from the ISS in 2021 for an unguided reentry. Well, okay, so now we have to worry about space trash. Like, we don't have enough garbage around. Ugh. Feel free to give me a ring. 1-800-39-ONLINE. It's online tonight. I'm Max. Stay tuned. This hour's Geek Speak is RFID. This portion of the show is powered by Anchor. I've used other Anchor products, but I didn't realize they are the world's number one mobile charging brand with over 200 million products sold worldwide. They've been a pioneer in the charging technology space for over 10 years. I'm very interested in the Powerhouse 767. Think of it as like a giant battery-operated generator. I've seen those Honda generators that you may take camping or whatever. You put gas in it, you have to start it, and you've got outlets and stuff like that. This is run by batteries, so you don't have to worry about gas. And it, you know, lasts a long time, and it has 13 charging ports and outlets on it. Great for RVs, camping, outdoor recreation, home backup. Find all the amazing Anchor products at olttv.com/anchor. That's olttv.com/ANKER. Now, RFID. RFID stands for Radio Frequency Identification. See what they did there with the D-I-D, identification? Is a technology that uses radio waves to passively identify a tagged object. It is used in several commercial and industrial applications, from tracking items along a supply chain to keeping track of items checked out of a library. They're also the primary technology behind Disney Magic Bands and some of the other bracelets that you might get on a cruise ship. So it knows what your benefits are. It knows what your room number is. It knows those things. So when you swipe it, your key can let you know to let you in, or, you know, get you into a certain part of the ship or the theme parks or whatever. Kind of neat. But primarily used to track inventory. I have another friend who is in the container tracking business. It's all RFID. And as a pallet or a truck with a giant bed goes by the scanners, it then records that this item has left the lot. So it can be very useful. That's this hour's Geek Speak, RFID.
Online tonight.
Where the quality of our answers just might surprise you. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right. A listener email from Glenn in Las Vegas. I heard you mention Samsung TVs recently, but you haven't talked about this cool combo that allows you to sync your Hue lights with TVs. I had heard about it, but I didn't want to spend $130 for an app for just for one TV. They recently made it available by monthly subscription for just $3 a month on up to 3 TVs, which is a great deal. So I jumped on it right away. It doesn't just put your lights into a home theater mode. They actually sync with the content of the screen, including from streaming companies like Paramount, Disney Plus, Netflix. Anyway, here's the link to an article about it. I hope you'll share it with your listeners. That's not a question. That is a comment, and it almost sounds like an ad. This is not an ad, but I did peek at the link that Glenn sent me. And if I know who this is, I think we met this person at CES, and he was in the audio-visual department. So, again, Glenn from Vegas, thank you very much for listening to us. The Philips Hue and Samsung SmartThings are introducing a new monthly subscription option for the Hue's Sync TV app, which syncs Hue lights with Samsung TVs, and you can get them for $3 a month. The subscription will allow syncing up to 3 Samsung TVs with a one-time purchase option. You can still spend $130 if you want, or you can decide to go with the subscription model. So that's pretty good. The app, available since January of 2023, will sync Hue lights with content on Samsung TVs and is compatible with the 2022 or newer Samsung TVs in the QR60 range or better. It provides an alternative to the $250 Philips Hue Play HDMI Sync Box, which works with any HDMI-equipped TV. So if you have a different brand, then you know that other product might be a good option for you. The app is also expanding to additional countries where you can check it out. Currently available, obviously, here in the U.S., but if you're in Brazil, Hong Kong, Poland, the Czech Republic, or Slovakia, you'll be able to get your hands on that sometime soon. Here's some other tech news. OLED TVs on airplanes. Panasonic Avionics in-flight entertainment system will be introducing OLED screens with 4K resolution and HDR Plus to improve the in-flight entertainment experience. What makes these interesting, at least to me, is that these screens feature 2 USB-C charging ports, Bluetooth support for headphones or AirPods or Beats or any Bluetooth type of, it can be over the ear or in ear. They have color LED lighting to reduce reliance on overhead cabin lights, so they can even illuminate your area so that you can, you know, crochet or maybe snap together some Legos, or I don't know what people do on airplanes. I primarily watch movies or I read a book. The screen sizes will range from 13 to 42 inches, with larger sizes likely for ultra high end international flights, usually in the lounge. Iceland Air and Qantas plan to roll out the Panasonic Avionics system later this year and at the beginning of 2025, focusing mostly on long-haul flights. United Airlines also announced plans to install these systems on longer international flights sometime in 2025, with some domestic flights will be available after that, according to United. While it's uncertain how these screens compare to high-end OLED TVs, any improvement over the current in-flight system, I'm happy to say, would be greatly appreciated, because I find the screens that, like when we went to Florida for a cruise, we found that the screen was very fuzzy and the resolution was kind of horrible. We did not really enjoy it as much as I think we could have. So, you know, there you go. All right. Techie reading glasses. The 32-degree N sunglasses were created by an Israeli company, Deep Optics, and they offer a unique solution for allowing users to adjust their reading glasses prescription in an app and toggle between reading distance and regular sunglass mode. I found this to be interesting. My dad has hearing aids that he uses, and it has an app to control, you know, if you're in a restaurant or you're in, you know, the car or you're somewhere like that. You can put in different settings. You can adjust the amplification. You can do all kinds of cool stuff. And so I found this to be fascinating that you can do this now with glasses. Now, you know, it can only do certain prescriptions, so you'll want to check that out if that's something you're interested in. The technology behind the glasses hints at future developments in eyewear, and to help with blurry vision. And what if you have a prescription in each eye? Maybe we'll see if we can get them on the air sometime. That would be a lot of fun. If it's Online Tonight, head over to our website, onlinetonight.com, where you can check out all of the show notes, and you can subscribe to the podcast, and I'll also tell you about our new merch. It's Online Tonight. Stay tuned.
around for the phone number. It's 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546.
I'm a 74-year-old grandmother. I love your program, but your darn voice makes me so excited I forget to tell you what I want.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Max. The name of the show is Online Tonight. It's about 24, 25 minutes before the hour. And don't forget, you can give us a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is our toll-free telephone number.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers. So you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
The phone lines are open, 1-800-39-ONLINE. You can also reach us by text and email. The text is 951-395-1017, and the email address is show@onlinetonight.com. Little bit of Apple news. This, according to Mac Rumors, it says that they believe that Apple is very interested in robotics, and they have some ideas of what Apple might be doing in the robot space. Now, with the cancellation of the Apple Car project, which was kind of like a giant car robot in a way, they are redirecting their efforts towards exploring new markets, with personal robotics emerging as one area of interest, according to Mac Rumors. Apple is investigating various in-home robotic devices and AI software functionalities. Teams are working on robotics in the hardware engineering division and AI and machine learning group under AI chief John Gianaradia. I apologize. I have no idea how to say his name. I'll just call him John G from now on. Apple is considering a mobile robot that could follow people around their home and potentially serve as a multipurpose assistant. It could do tasks, say, like FaceTime calls, monitoring the home, answering questions, like how much did the Angels lose by yesterday or today? Actually, I think they won today. However, the development faces significant engineering challenges, making a functional product unlikely in the near future. And it kind of reminds me of that Amazon. Is it Amazon that has the little funny little rolly-faced robot that follows you around? I think that thing's kind of cool. Some other projects that Apple might be interested in is an advanced tabletop home device with a robotic motor. It mimics the head movements of a person during a FaceTime call, offering precise tracking and interaction. Apple has encountered issues with weight, balance, and consumer willingness to pay for such a product. Now, apparently, Apple has a secret facility where they have inside a warehouse, they have built a home, and they make it look like a home with different rooms, bathroom, kitchen, bedroom, living room, theater room, etc. And apparently, that's where they test some of these products. Some of the other rumored devices that Apple might be developing is an iPad-like home hub for smart device control, maybe something that follows you around, or might be voice-activated. It might be mounted on the wall. There's also speculation about an Apple TV variant that integrates HomePod speakers and a camera, and a little bit more on that here in just a second. I'll just tell you now, apparently somebody was looking deep into the beta of tvOS 17.5, and they found some camera resources in the FaceTime area of the Apple TV. So there's speculation, it's a rumor obviously, that there might be a camera added to your little Apple TV box. As you know, Apple does not pre-announce product, so don't get too excited about those rumors from Mac Rumors. Apple has updated their product status for the iPhone 6 Plus and the iPad 4 Mini. Apple has made updates to its list of vintage and obsolete products, with several older iPhone and iPad models being affected. The iPhone 6 Plus has been categorized as obsolete worldwide by Apple. The classification means that Apple stores and authorized service providers will no longer provide repairs or hardware service for the device. The iPhone 6 Plus was launched alongside the iPhone 6 in September of 2014. It featured the larger screen and Apple Pay support. While the iPhone 6 Plus was discontinued in September of 2016, the iPhone 6 remained available through resellers in select countries. iOS 13 marked the end of the software support for both iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus in 2019 or so. The iPad Mini 4, the fourth generation iPad Mini, has been labeled as vintage by Apple. This designation means that it's more than 5 years have passed since the device was last distributed for sale. Apple stores and authorized service centers will continue to offer repairs for vintage products for up to 2 more years, depending on if the parts are available. The iPad Mini 4 was released in September of 2015, and it features a compact design and updated specifications compared to the earlier models. Apple has also listed the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 8 Plus as vintage. These devices are considered vintage only in the product red color option, as they remain available in other colors for a longer, they were available longer in different colors, is what I'm trying to say. As Apple continues to update its product status list, customers are advised to check the current status of their devices regarding repair and service availability. And this is kind of why some companies are really pushing, like Oregon recently passed the right to repair bill. I know that there's a guy on the internet who even hired a lobbyist to help try to get stuff passed in New York and Massachusetts. Just because Apple doesn't want to repair them or won't make parts available to the Apple service providers doesn't mean that someone else isn't willing to fix it. But Apple makes it very, very difficult to do that. Another thing Apple is dropping is Watch 4 support. This is a rumor. Watch OS 11 to drop support for the Series 4 watch. According to iPhoneSoft, the upcoming Watch OS 11 update may no longer support the Apple Watch 4, which was released in 2018. Now, the Series 4 introduced a redesign. It had a larger display, had more storage, had fall detection, ECG. The Series 4 would be the oldest Apple Watch to lose support with iOS 11. I had a Series 1, and I've had other things since then. So, I mean, I was stuck on watchOS 6 or whatever for the longest time. iOS 18, which is for phones, will be coming along around the same time as watchOS 11. And it should support all of the same devices that were compatible with iOS 17. But we won't know until they officially announce that information. More Apple news, and I'm surprised they still call it this. I didn't realize they still called the bundle of these apps iWork. But iWork has been updated. Apple has updated Keynote, Numbers, and Pages for the Mac, iPad, and iPhone with some new features. Keynote now has a dynamic color. It has minimalist light and minimalist dark themes. It streamlined notifications for collaborative presentations. It preserves file format and quality with HEIC photos. That's the native photo that's taken on an iPhone. Enhanced compatibility with PowerPoint files. So if somebody sends you or airdrops you a PowerPoint, you should be able to open that on easier on all three devices. Numbers has been updated. It has also been streamlined with notifications for collaborative spreadsheets. Maintains the same format and quality for the HEIC photos, allows command key selection of non-contiguous text, and it has general performance and stability improvements. Pages has gained a command key selection of non-contiguous text, notifications for new collaboration joining documents, maintains file format and high quality for those same high quality photos, and also has bug fixes, stability, and performance enhancements. And again, these updates are available now for your Mac, your iPad, and your iPhone to provide a seamless experience across devices. So So something that you might want to check, do you have automatic app updates turned on? If not, you can go into the App Store, click on Check for Updates, and you'll have a little list to show you all of the things that can be updated. And if you are interested in any of those changes, then you want to click Update for Keynote, Update for Numbers, and Update for Pages. All right. Feel free to give us a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE. We'd love to hear from you. Are you doing anything special for the eclipse? And just a quick reminder, please wear protection so that you don't hurt your eyes. Stay tuned. This hour's bookmark. This is travelmath.com, TRAVELMATH.com. Are you planning a trip that will take you to multiple locations or day trips from your main destination? Well, this site might come in handy. It allows you to calculate all kinds of travel figures like driving time and the distance, the latitude, longitude, or as I believe pirates say, I think they invert that, don't they, to longitude and latitude? I don't know. Flight times, if you want to know how long something's going to take you in the air, that might be of interest to you. So flight times. It also tells you where the nearest airports, hotels, and more. That's this hour's bookmark. This, travelmath.com. That's travelmath.com. Brought to you by Southwest Airlines. Southwest offers flights to over 100 destinations in 42 states, plus Puerto Rico, Mexico, Central America, and the Caribbean. Find out more about all the destinations you could include in your next vacation at OLTTV.com/SWA. That's OLTTV.com/SWA.
Online tonight.
Our other radio show is a Lamborghini. And as a matter of fact, we do own the road. This is Online Tonight. Now here's Max.
All right, Google has rolled out several updates to its Maps platform, including AI-powered insights. Users can now access detailed information about locations powered by Google AI. This includes photo sightings, summarized reviews, and identification of restaurant food items using AI. They also have an enhanced recommendation. Discover curated recommendation lists from top sites and Google Maps community in select cities across the U.S. and Canada. These lists include trending, top, and gems recommendation. There's a customizable tool. Google has introduced new customization options for creating lists and maps, allowing users to prioritize places and link content from social channels. It's got a fresh new design. The Maps interface now features a cleaner home screen with fewer tabs and new pinned colors for easier navigation. These updates aim to provide users with a more personalized and comprehensive experience while using Google Maps. Google developing a lookup feature for Android. Google is reportedly working on a new feature for its phone app that allows users to quickly look up unknown phone numbers directly from their recent call screens. I have wanted this feature for a very long time. I get a number. It shows up on my phone. And I don't know if they're not in my contacts. It doesn't show me their name. And I can't remember all the numbers. I get a lot of calls all the time. And I'm never sure if I'm supposed to answer it. And sometimes it's, I'm calling about your warranty or you've been approved for a loan or would you mind taking this political survey? And there's a lot of things that I don't want to hear about or don't want to talk to somebody about, but I'm also afraid sometimes that I'm missing a call that I should have. And so this lookup button, which was recently spotted in a beta version of the app, opens a Google search and automatically fills in the number and will give you some information on it. The feature, alongside options like how to block and history, in the phone app aims to simplify the process of identifying unknown calls, particularly in an era where spam calls are spoofing numbers. I'm surprised it's taken this long, and I'm surprised that Google's the first one to do it, but I guess it's better than having nothing. Additionally, Google said that it is integrating Gemini email summaries into Android version of the Gmail app. They kind of announced these things at the same time. Although the feature is not functional yet, it is expected to provide email summaries with the tap of a button to help you enhance your productivity. These updates reflect Google's ongoing efforts to enhance the user experience and streamline interactions across all of its platforms. Google Chat, more Google news. Google Chat, Google's messaging app within Workspace, is adding support for voice messages after 11 years since WhatsApp introduced the feature. So WhatsApp had it 10 years ago, and now Google is finally adding it to their system. Despite being the official substitute for Hangouts, Google Chat has been lacking modern amenities found in other messaging apps. The voice message feature is rolling out gradually, starting with rapid release domains and expanding to other eligible users by the end of the month, April 30th. Initially available only on Android, web support is expected shortly thereafter. Got my fingers crossed for May. Users will see a new mic icon beside the image attachment shortcut in the chat app, and that way they'll be able to record a voice message. Voice messages will be treated as attachments and can be downloaded from Google Takeout. This feature allows sending voice notes in chats with individuals, groups, and spaces, but it's limited to certain enterprise tier account types. The addition of voice messages aims to enhance Google's chat functionality and user experience, although it's a little bit late compared to others. Google is, as we talked about last week, is really kind of pushing Apple to jump into the RCS space and to make sure that their messages are compatible, so you don't get that green bubble. I don't know why people are offended by the green bubble, but some people are. But Google is really working to make things more operate better with iPhones and make it easier for people that are switching from an iPhone to an Android. And one of the things that's really been holding this up is how wonderful the Apple Wallet is. Well, Google Wallet is now supporting the importing of passes from Apple Wallet using the .pkpass file extension. .pkpass files contain data that passes passes in Apple Wallet and can now be read and imported by Google Wallet. The feature doesn't work universally. In some cases, like with the parking pass from the Charlotte, North Carolina airport, it functions pretty smoothly. But in other areas, basketball games or baseball games, it might be blocked. So keep an eye out for that. You might not want to, you want to test it, see if it's going to work for you. That's the way I say it. Most things. Try it. See if you like it. That's what I say to most of my relatives when it comes to new foods. And I have enjoyed many things I probably wouldn't have tried in the past. Hey, don't forget to head over to OLTTV.com/store. Where you can check out our new merchandise. We have t-shirts and we have cups and we have hats and all kinds of stuff. And don't forget to go to the website onlinetonight.com where you can subscribe to the podcast. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight is produced and copyrighted by Smart Family Media. All rights reserved. Host Maxwell Smart. Producer and other hats worn by Victoria Smart. Views and opinions expressed are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, affiliates, or other advertisers.
We're on the air live tonight, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is the number.
Online tonight.
Carlos and the Chick, another sort of performance that keep popping up on the radio these days. So-called humorists who rely on cruel pranks and scatological references. Well, I suppose that's the sort of thing that passes for entertainment these days. You know, perhaps it's just a generational thing.
Now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
I am Max. Name of the show is Online Tonight. Greatly appreciate you including me in your evening or in the middle of your day, whenever you're listening to this. Always happy to have you join us. Online Tonight is where we talk about tech and pop culture and more. Usually more has to do with food or travel or just something that I saw that I thought was cool or geeky. But we more importantly would like to chat with you. You have a tech question. You want to discuss some pop culture stuff. Have you tried going to Galaxy's Edge and watching the fireworks? Are you excited about the eclipse tomorrow? Whatever's on your mind, would love to have a conversation with you. And the best way to do that is with our toll-free telephone number, 1-800-39-ONLINE. But you can also send us a text. Now, please remember that the text is one way, and same with email. We don't answer them. We may answer your question on the air, but you won't know unless you listen to each and every segment. Our text is 951-395-1017. 951-395-1017. There may be some fees involved in that. I'm not sure. I don't know how many carriers are charging per text now, but if that's something that you are dealing with, please keep that in mind. You can also email show@onlinetonight.com. That's S-H-O-W, show@onlinetonight.com.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers, so you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
The phone lines are open, 1-800-39-ONLINE. Victoria's taking your calls. She's checking out your text and your emails, so feel free to send them right in. We'll jump into some tech news here, mostly AI news. If you have been a ChatGPT user, then you'll know that you had to create an account and you had to log in to be able to use the tool. But now, ChatGPT 3.5, the free version, is now accessible without having to create a personal account. Users without accounts have limited access to features and question types. OpenAI aims to simplify the ChatGPT experience, and they want to promote AI accessibility. The change is going to be gradually rolling out, allowing users to try it without registration. Now, you still have the option to create an account, obviously. And it has some added benefits like viewing the conversation history and accessing premium features. OpenAI assures that it stores input to enhance ChatGPT, but offers an option to disable that feature. So if you don't want it, you don't have to have it. By offering a glimpse of its capabilities, OpenAI is hoping to attract more people to come by and maybe decide that it is a valuable tool and I should start paying for it so you could become a subscriber. The move towards user accessibility could help position OpenAI as the dominant player as it competes against people like Google. YouTube is now using ChatGPT to transcribe what? I don't know. OpenAI reportedly transcribed over 1 million hours of YouTube videos to train its ChatGPT 4 language model, using its Whisper audio transcription system. Despite legal uncertainties, OpenAI considered this fair use and was led by its president, Greg, in making this determination. The company exhaustively searched for training data, utilizing sources such as computer code from GitHub, chess move databases, and other content from other sites like Quizlet. Google, while aware of OpenAI's activity, they normally prohibit unauthorized scraping or downloading of YouTube content. Google itself has gathered transcriptions from YouTube in accordance with its user agreement with creators. Meta also faced challenges in acquiring good training data, and they were contemplating options like purchasing book licenses from publishers. Both OpenAI and Meta are confronting the scarcity of quality training data for AI models, a problem that they expect to get worse through 2028. I don't know why 2028 is some magical year where all of these problems will go away, but maybe Meta, OpenAI, and Google will have convinced the Copyright Office to just give everything away to everybody. Possible solutions include training models on synthetic data or using curriculum learning, though neither method is proven. Some have resorted to unauthorized use of data, and that then puts them in legal issues with lawsuits, and we've seen this with authors already and songwriters already. I don't know if you use the DALL-E AI image model system. I call it DALL-E because it looks like WALL-E to me. It's spelled DALL-E, which reminds me of that cool little robot from a Pixar movie. But apparently DALL-E is now available to ChatGPT Plus subscribers, and you're now going to be able to edit the images in a similar fashion that you might with Photoshop. Users can select and modify specific parts of an image without having to regenerate the whole picture, enhancing control and efficiency, according to them. The editing process involves clicking on the generated image, and then you want to select the desired area that you want to modify, and then it gives you instructions, or you can provide instructions on how you want that selection to be changed. Maybe you want to change the color of a plant or the color of the, you know, the signpost, or I don't know. I don't know what you're generating in these things. Maybe you could share with me. Are you using these tools, and what are you using them for? Are you using them for ads? Are you using them for your own events? Do you just explore because you think it's fun? Now, the tools look like they have some promise. They're not exactly perfect yet. They have some inconsistencies, and they can't really do complex edits just yet, but they're working on it. So AI models like DALL-E excel at arranging pixels to mimic real-world objects, but they don't understand exactly what they're creating. And so there's weird little anomalies or quirks or limitations. Despite their advanced capabilities, AI art generators operate fundamentally different from human artists, and they have, you know, they interpretation and management of the expectations. You got to really just kind of, if you're going to have fun with it, great. But if you're using it for something serious, it might be better to hire a human graphic artist in some cases. But it just depends on what you need. According to Mac Rumors, this is still in the AI news space, Apple researchers have introduced Realm, which stands for Reference Resolution as Language Modeling. It's an AI system aimed at improving how voice assistants understand and respond to commands. Think of Siri, right? So the back end for Siri. Realm focuses on reference resolution, deciphering references to on-screen entities and understanding conversational and background context. By converting reference resolution into a language model, Realm can comprehend visual elements displayed on a screen and integrate this understanding into the conversation. Realm, combined with fine-tuned language models for reference resolution task outperforms traditional methods or even surpasses OpenAI's GPT-4 capabilities. So Apple's very happy that, you know, they've got something that's even better than the latest and greatest from OpenAI. Apple has been actively publishing AI research papers with recent focuses on training large language models and integrating text and visual information seamlessly. So it'll be very interesting to see what Apple releases in June at the Worldwide Developer Conference. Are you going to go there? Are you excited about where we are in AI? Are you looking forward to anything from Apple in particular? Give us a ring. Stay tuned. This hour's Geek Speak is responsive web design. We'll get to that in just a moment. This Geek Speak is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Your favorite shows like Star Trek, Transformer movies, plus the UEFA Champions League soccer quarterfinals, semifinals. Those are all available on Paramount Plus this month. You can find out all they have to offer at OLTTV.com/stream. That's OLTTV.com/STREAM, stream. Now, responsive web design. And you can easily check to see if a website is responsive. What is it? It is the process of designing a website so that they will gracefully appear on phones, tablets, wearable devices, or your laptop. So if you're looking at a website on your phone and it, you know, looks good, then it probably is a responsive web design. Here's how you can check, just for fun. Go to a desktop computer. This is the best way to see if it works. Go to a desktop computer and open some website like OnlineTonight.com and make it full screen. You'll notice there are menu bars at the top, right? So you'll see things like, let me pull it up. You'll see things like About, Reach Us, Sponsor, etc. If you grab the right side of the window and you make it smaller, you'll see that the top changes to a different color and the menu is then centered, not to the right. And if you keep going, you'll get the little hamburger menu and the word menu. And everything just kind of squeezes and sizes. If you go down to where it says About, and then you click on the resize window again, you'll see that the word tech, pop culture, and more, they're normally side by side. But then when you go and make the screen a little bit more narrow, then they'll stack. You'll see tech, then you scroll down, you'll see pop culture, and then you'll scroll down, and you'll see more. And that is all made possible because of responsive web design. That's this hour's Geek Speak.
Listen, rinse, repeat. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
Wanted to share with you some video game news. Microsoft is testing a AI-powered Xbox chatbot to support some tasks. The chatbot animates when responding to Xbox support queries. It's part of Microsoft's larger effort to apply AI to Xbox platform and services. Isn't AI everywhere now? Right? It's everywhere. You can't even play video games without AI. The chatbot aims to make it quicker for players to get help using natural language. It's similar to what Microsoft encourages its customers to build for support automation. And the chatbot can handle support requests ranging from hardware questions to subscription problems. It also makes it so they don't have to hire as many people to answer your questions. It has been tested internally for Minecraft Realms subscription service. Microsoft is working on bringing AI features to game content creation, game operations, and the Xbox platform as a whole. Microsoft is also considering using AI-powered co-pilots for some safety and moderation tasks. Microsoft teased a powerful next-generation Xbox with AI integration because maybe they are jumping on the bandwagon because Sony is also rumored to be preparing the PlayStation 5 Pro console with AI upscaling technology, which will, that's mostly for visuals, not really for customer service. And so Microsoft doesn't want to get behind Sony, right? They want to stay either right in line or maybe lead a little in the game space, the console space. AI integration in gaming may first appear in basic support tasks rather than advanced features. Here's a little bit of more Microsoft gaming news. According to The Verge, another day, another Xbox controller. One thing that Microsoft does pretty often or is got a lot of is different controllers. They have just launched a new controller called the Nocturnal Vapor Special Edition. It's a wireless controller, and it has contrast of dark and light green with a swirl effect on it. And it's probably not as cool as the Starfield Xbox controller, but this is $70. The Nocturnal Vapor Edition is available for pre-order right now. So if that's something you might be interested in, you might want to check it out. More Xbox news. A game from Bethesda is free through Prime, Amazon Prime. A popular game called Fallout 76 will be made available for free, 100% free, to download starting April 11th. Now, the offer is available through the Prime Gaming, and you have to have a Prime Amazon Prime subscription to get this free download. Players can choose between an Xbox code or a PC code for the free download. Fallout 76 was released in 2018 by Bethesda Game Studios, and it's the prequel to the Fallout series. Now, originally the game, was criticized, but they've made improvements over time, and about 17 million people play it on a regular basis. Players emerge into post-nuclear America on Reclamation Day in 2102. They can explore, they can do some quests, they can build, and they can kind of fight against any threats. Those without Amazon Prime can get access to the game via the Xbox Game Pass, or they can spend $40 to buy it. If you are an Amazon Prime member, you can also download an additional 11 free games through April via Prime Gaming. The lineup has a bunch of different genres like post-apocalyptic or fantasy mystery, right? Some of the titles, I already mentioned Fallout 76. Some of the other titles you might be interested in are Chivalry 2, Far Away 2, Jungle Escape, Black Desert, Drawn, Trial of Shadows, Demon's Tilt, Rose Riddle, the Fairy Tale Detective, Dexter Stardust, Adventure in Outer Space, Vlad's Circus, and Tiny Robots Recharged. Prime Gaming members can also access additional games through the Amazon Luna channel. And there's some cool ones there, like the Earthworm Jim 2, Smurfs Kart, and a couple others. The lineup offers a diverse selection of gaming experience for Prime members to enjoy throughout the month. So let us know. Let me know. Give me a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. What gaming console are you using? What games do you like? Are you looking forward to the Xbox update, the PlayStation 5 update? Are you a classic gamer like myself? I'm still a retro guy. I like Galaga and Joust and all those oldies. Let me know. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight is live and on the air at 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546.
Online Tonight.
Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Minutes before the hour. The name of the show is Online Tonight. I'm Max. Our toll-free telephone number 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers. So you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
The phone lines are open, 1-800-39-ONLINE. You can also send us a text or an email. Our text is 951-395-1017. Our email address, show@onlinetonight.com. That's S-H-O-W, show@onlinetonight.com. We got a chance to take a early look at Monkey Man, rated R, in theaters today, not on Netflix, thanks to Jordan Peele and his marketing prowess with the Universal Studios people under his Monkey Paw production umbrella. This film is about an anonymous man from India who fights in a ring wearing a gorilla mask. So he's kind of like Gorilla Man, but they call him Monkey Man. The character is based on, and I apologize if I say this wrong, Hanuman. Sorry. See, I knew I wouldn't get it. Who was central to the stories his mother used to tell him as a child. We see flashbacks of his early life, and we learn that he is seeking vengeance against powerful people who are responsible for stealing their land and killing his mother. The premise and action are similar to, say, Jason Statham type movie or maybe a John Wick movie, but he was heavily influenced by Bruce Lee.
I'm Jennifer, and Monkey Man stars Dev Patel as the anonymous man. Pitobash plays Alfonso, who unwittingly helps him with his plan. The cast is filled with talented South Asian actors. And then there's Charlto Copley, a familiar South African actor whose voice may be familiar to fans of dystopian movies like Chappie or District 9. He plays Tiger, the fight organizer.
One of the similarities between this and things like John Wick and Jason Statham is the amount of violence. This is a pretty fast, hard-hitting... You know, the interesting thing is...
I'm Victoria, by the way.
Why do I feel like the hand-to-hand combat, which is what's in a lot of this, and the John Wick movies and the Jason Statham movies, is more personal? Like, when you're out for vengeance,
You want their blood on your hands.
Yeah, you want to actually be right, you know, holding their life in your hands so that you can play with them. You can, you know, hurt them to a certain point and then, you know.
If you talk to a homicide detective, they say that the two most personal types of murder is strangulation and stabbings.
Hmm. Very interesting. Anyway, I found this movie to be interesting just because I don't know a lot about the culture and the politics of India. And that's where this not necessarily filmed in India, but takes place in India. The government has been taking away the land of all the farmers and wanting to build resorts and do different things like that. And the government is fairly corrupt and the chief of police is in on, you know, all this, and they're hurting people. And they're all revering this holy man who has become very famous, and he's become sort of an industry for them. And you know, he's involved in all this, and it's interesting to me to see these kinds of stories that I'm not at all familiar with.
I love that Dev Patel, who is, this is his directorial debut and also stars as Monkey Man, or also known as Kid. He was highly influenced by Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan, and things like that. And if you look at John Wick movies, most of it's choreographed by people that have similar disciplines. And same with Jason Statham movies and some of these other kind of fighting movies. So it's very hand-to-hand and leg sweeps and round kicks and, you know, grabbing of knives and poking people with. There's a little bit of blood in this movie. Not a lot of gunfire. John Wick, a lot of gunfire. This was mostly hand-to-hand, knives, ice picks, mirrors, you know, things like glass, things like
that. The things that are handy.
Yeah.
When you're fighting.
Very, very. Well, that's what you said you loved about that Jason Statham movie, is that he used ashtrays and pencils and spoons. And one guy got a fork right in the place. So it was basically a fighty movie with a little bit of flashbacks and backstory. I had a good time. Jen?
I appreciated that there was a solid backstory. I felt like that was well established. I liked that, yes, it wasn't all revealed to us at the beginning. It was revealed throughout as he is sort of coming to terms with it, because it seemed he's repressed it a little bit. I think he doesn't like to think about all of the trauma that he's been through and seeing things that he did as a child. And so we get glimpses of it throughout the movie, and then we have a bit of a big reveal before the sort of turning point when he is training himself physically, and then also part of that is mentally unlocking the trauma and facing it. And so that's when we get to see all of it as well. So I think that they did it well, how they sort of unlocked the backstory and they showed it to us, and it wasn't a dialogue between like the main character and the bad guy and him explaining why he's troubled. They actually showed it to us instead of telling us, which sometimes movies do fall into just telling you the backstory. So I appreciated that we really saw the flashbacks, even though, yes, it's a little gruesome. I would say there's more than a bit of blood. There is a lot of blood in this, because people do get stabbed a lot of times from places that bleed a lot. And so there's quite a bit of blood puddling up on the floor in some scenes. And the body count is high, even though there's no guns, or not as many guns. But I enjoyed it overall. I give it a 4 out of 5.
I like the move of, you know, pulling a knife out of yourself and then using it against the person who put it there.
Reverse stabbing.
That's a great move.
Keep that in mind if you ever need it.
Yeah. I agree. Even though it was super, super violent, I enjoyed it, and I liked the premise, and it felt justified in a way. So I will give it a 4 out of 5 as well.
I also will join you with, well, I actually liked it maybe more than you, 4.5. I liked the storyline. I thought it was a lot of fun. And I like the way it ended, in that you really don't know. You know, sometimes people regret their revenge, but we don't know how this character feels at the end. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. Probably watch it again.
And again, a very solid R rating. Extremely R rated because of the violence. I wanted to share with you that Apple TV Plus has added some more movies for a limited time. They have expanded their movie catalog with 30 additional popular and classic films through April. Some of the new titles include 42, Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, Arrival, Ghostbusters, The Godfather is now available there, Crazy Rich Asians, Dunkirk, John Wick, Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, some other movies like Transformers, Dark of the Moon, are also available on 3D if you have one of those Apple Vision Pros. So lucky you. Now, the movies will be available for about 4 to 8 weeks, depending on the title. So you'll want to see what the title is. And if it's something that you're interested in, then you want to, you know, check on it early. Did I miss any? I think, no, I don't think I missed any. Oh, did I mention The Departed? That's also available. The best way to find this is to go into the Apple TV Plus app. You want to try to find the section that says new to Apple TV Plus this month. And if you go in there, then you should see the list of 30 movies. I think last month they did like 50 movies. So there, there should be quite a few things in that list for you to check out. We would love to hear from you. Do you have a flashback movie or something that you would like us to review on the Smart Movie Show next time? Because we always play a clip from that here. That's where the Monkey Man came from. And you can visit our website. Stay tuned. All right, this hour's bookmark, this is IRS.gov, IRS.gov. Tax day is next Monday, not tomorrow, the eclipse day, but the following week. And if you're one of the many people who haven't filed yet, you can take advantage of some of the free tools and free filing over there at IRS.gov. There's a free guide, free guided software option is available. To filers with an adjusted gross income of under $80,000 or $79,000, and free fillable forms that are available to filers of any income level. Just check on the link on the IRS web homepage or website that says file your taxes for free to see all the options. That's IRS.gov, IRS.gov. That's this hour's Bookmark This, brought to you by Anchor. You probably know Anchor for their dongles, as I call them, but they call them hubs. And I am very interested, or I have, the Anchor 655 USB-C hub. It's an 8-in-1. They also have a 9-in-1, but the 655 is an 8-in-1. It has an SD card slot, a micro SD card slot, two USB ports, those are 10 gig, audio, Ethernet, and HDMI. And it comes in a nice little sleek device. It has two different colors. You can check out all of the Anchor products at OLTTV.com/anchor. That's OLTTV.com/ANKER.
Genetically modifying turkeys so they have five drumsticks. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right, some people are using AI for crazy things, and here's something I definitely would not be using AI for, and that is to do my taxes. Experts are warning that you should not use AI chatbots for assistance when filing your taxes. They weren't warned against that. They say, you know, that's try not to use AI for tax advice. It's not recommended. Approximately 1 in 5 Americans trust AI chatbots like ChatGPT for tax review, but using such tools for financial advice is discouraged by organizations like the American Institute for CPAs. Well, I can understand why they would say it because, you know, maybe you're cutting a CPA out of a job. The IRS, TurboTax, and H&R Block have introduced AI-powered chatbots to assist taxpayers, but experts are saying that these chatbots may not be fully prepared for all the complexities of the tax code and doing your tax filing. When AI chatbots can be helpful for general tax information, you know, they can provide possibly some inaccurate answers for very specific inquiries, and you want to be careful, because they just have a general training. They're not deep into the code, the IRS code. And of course, there are some concerns about data security and individuals putting in financial information into the AI chatbots, and you know, maybe that's being captured somehow. I'm not sure if they're just trying to scare you, or maybe this is legitimate. I don't know. I would not use AI for any of my financial information. It is not at all something that I would rely on. Something that I do rely on are the restrooms at a restaurant. I like to wash my hands before I touch my food. And apparently, a New York tech startup has developed a hand scanner to improve hand hygiene in food service settings. The hand scanner uses a light fluorescence spectro thingy, to detect contaminants on hands and will tell an employee, hey, your hands aren't clean. You got to go wash them again. Use more soap or whatever. It tracks hand washing compliance and notifies the management of issues. The cost of the device is a monthly subscription, apparently. It's like $50 a month, and it is being adopted by several restaurants. Some franchises like Arby's and Taco Bell are using those new systems or testing them out at some of their locations. PathSpot aims to modernize food safety practices and create a culture of hygiene in the industry, they say. I wanted to share with you a little bit of tech news when it came to history. I did not like history growing up in junior high or high school. It was a subject that I really did not care for. But now I am kind of fascinated by these things. And I found it very interesting that the very first cellular phone call was made in 1973. I didn't get my first cell phone until I worked at Radio Shack. And they had the Motorola Brick. I don't know what the actual model number was, but we just called it the Brick. And I bought one of those, and I think I paid $9 a minute to make a phone call. That's when I got mine. Microsoft was founded in 1975. It was a partnership between Bill Gates, he was 19 at the time, and Paul Allen, he was 22 at the time, and they created the company in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Isn't that interesting? Microsoft was primarily created to develop the basic programming environment for the MITS Altair 8800. MITS, M-I-T-S, they were headquartered in Albuquerque. So Gates and Allen moved there from Boston to launch their company. Eventually they moved, of course, the Microsoft headquarters to Seattle. That's in Washington, where both men were originally from, and they had previously met in high school. In 1980, Microsoft announces their very first hardware product. Now, what we talked earlier about the Xbox game controllers, they seem to be making a ton of those. I own a Microsoft ergonomic keyboard and a mouse and some of these other things. But their very first product came out in 1980. It was called the Z80 Soft Card. And it was a microprocessor that plugged into an Apple II personal computer and allowed the system to run the CPM operating system. It was a very popular operating system at the time. And it could run things like WordStar and some of the other things that weren't available on the Apple II. And last but not least, in 1992, Windows 3.1 was released. It was $150, and it was it supported MIDI, CD audio, Super VGA, that's 800 by 600, and it had increased speeds and supported modems up to 9,600 bits per second. Hey, don't forget to go to our website, onlinetonight.com, but more importantly, you can check out our new merch. We got hats and shirts and coats and clocks, olttb.com/store, and head over to the website where you can subscribe to the podcast.
Online Tonight is produced and copyrighted by Smart Family Media. All rights reserved. Host Maxwell Smart. Producer and other hats worn by Victoria Smart. Views and opinions expressed are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, affiliates, or other advertisers.